Chapter 9, verses 15 to 23, and you can find it on page 146. On the day the tabernacle, the tent of the testimony, was set up, the cloud covered it. From evening to morning, the cloud above the tabernacle looked like fire. That's how it continued to be. The cloud covered it, and at night it looked like fire. Whenever the cloud lifted from above the tent, the Israelites set out. Wherever the cloud settled, the Israelites encamped. At the Lord's command, the Israelites set out, and at his command, they encamped. As long as the cloud stayed over the tabernacle, they remained in camp. When the cloud remained over the tabernacle a long time, the Israelites obeyed the Lord's order and did not set out. Sometimes the cloud was over the tabernacle only a few days. At the Lord's command, they would encamp, and then at his command, they would set out. Sometimes the cloud stayed only from evening till morning, and when it lifted in the morning, they set out. Whether by day or by night, whenever the cloud lifted, they set out. Whether the cloud stayed over the tabernacle for 2 days, or a month, or a year, the Israelites would remain in camp and not set out, but when it lifted, they would set out. At the Lord's command, they encamped, and at the Lord's command, they set out. They obeyed the Lord's order in accordance with his command through Moses. This is the word of the Lord.
Actually, it's wonderful. I didn't know the music that Leslie had chosen. Do be seated. Sorry, it's morning prayer, so we don't usually stand for the second reading in when we celebrate morning prayer together. But there was a wonderful serendipity about the choice of music for this morning's service, because Leslie planned the service on the basis of the lectionary readings, which we're not using, but her choices match the readings and what I'm going to be speaking about. And the reason the lectionary readings have been changed was that Simon asked me to speak on the same subject at 9 and 10:30 today, and he said, do feel free to change the readings if you need to. And I did, and just that reminder in that hymn that we've just sung, that when Jesus left, he left his Holy Spirit to guide us, well, to guide his disciples, and then, of course, us, as we continue the work. We're not abandoned. The disciples probably felt a bit abandoned when Jesus went. They weren't expecting it, and suddenly, at the ascension, he was taken from them. But Jesus said, no, I'm not leaving you alone. And he's not leaving us alone too. So, John 15, verses 4 to 17, page 1083 of the Bibles. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command, love each other. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So where are we going? Well, every summer when I was a child, we used to drive all the way from Cheltenham in the Cotswolds up to the Highlands of Scotland for our annual summer holiday with my grandmother. To make the journey more interesting, because roads were much slower in those days, we would take it in turns to navigate using my dad's detailed Ordnance Survey maps. We thought that he was relying completely on us, when in fact he always knew the way that we were going. But every so often, if time permitted, we were allowed to take him by a different route, although our shortcuts were not always quite as short as he might have liked. However, we would always get there in the end, and as a result of this experience, we've all ended up with an enduring love of maps. Now I use a sat-nav when I'm driving alone, and it's just not quite the same, but it's a bit difficult to drive with a bit of unfolded paper in front of your eyes. Simon asked me, as I said earlier, to speak on the theme, where are we going? And my honest answer to this question is, I don't know. But what I do know is that our Heavenly Father God knows exactly where we are going, and he knows who will lead us there. And just like my dad allowing us to make some changes in his route, we've been able to input into the process of choosing our new vicar. So, for example, we were responsible for drafting our parish profile, and there's a copy of it on the back table. And this will give has given potential applicants a flavour of who we are. We were responsible for deciding the content of that. We were also responsible for deciding what qualities we're looking for from our new incumbent, as well as writing the job description. And it's on the basis of what we asked for that four candidates have now been shortlisted. So we've been responsible for that. And soon they're going to be visiting the parish. I'm excited and curious about meeting them, and no doubt they're excited and curious, I hope not apprehensive, about meeting us too. And there are still final interviews and decisions to be made, but it feels as if this part of the journey, at least, the end of it, is almost in sight. But of course, for the successful new incumbent, their journey with us will be just beginning. And the point is, our lives are always full of change. And we're all experiencing different changes at different times. So in a sense, our church is experiencing change. St. Richard's is experiencing change. The church that our new incumbent comes from will be experiencing change. But that's always been the way it is. And if you like, using the metaphor of journeying with God and being on pilgrimage and following God's direction to another place has always been part of what happens with the people of God. Starting from Abraham being called to make that massive journey from Babylon to the Promised Land, and then so on and so on and so on, but I'll say more about that later. This process is not just about us and what we want. Above all, it's about God and what he wants. Because God has such hopes, desires, and plans for St. Paul's, and we want to be sure that we don't get in the way of what God is doing. So the whole process has been undergirded by prayer. We've had several prayer evenings. And the sort of prayers we've been praying, are, Lord, prompt the person of your choice to apply. Father, guide the committee doing the shortlisting. We've been praying especially for Steve and Fiona because, frankly, the burden lies hugely with them because they're the ones who are going to be at the interview and they really need our support and our prayers. You know, we're all together in this. We need to keep praying for them. And now we're praying for the interviews themselves. You know, God, let nothing prevent the candidates from getting here. And may your choice be clear. Many of you I know have been praying individually, but I really want to encourage you to come to the prayer evening on Tuesday the 12th. You know, it's just 4 days before the parish visit. And soon afterwards, the interviews are going to be taking place. And it's actually, it's crucial that we choose the candidate that God wants for us because that's the best candidate. And we're going to have whoever it is with us for the next decade, if you like, of the church's life. It's crucial and we want to get it right. And we believe that God wants us to get it right as well. He's going to answer our prayers. Well, the people of ancient Israel didn't have a map or a sat nav to follow when they escaped from Egypt into the wilderness. They might have had an idea of where they were because of the position of the stars. But what path was God going to lead them on and how would they know the way? Well, the answer is in Exodus 13:21. By day, the Lord went ahead of them in a pillar of cloud to guide them on their way and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, so that they could travel by day or by night. Neither the pillar of cloud by day nor the pillar of fire by night left its place in front of the people. In other words, God's presence with his people as they were traveling was constant. He never left them. Just as God's presence, I believe, with us is constant. He's not going to leave us. But despite this, God's people panicked when Pharaoh came storming after them. And they grumbled because the food was different and the water supply was sparse. So their journey, leaving what they knew and what was familiar, Egypt, to go somewhere totally new and unfamiliar, the Promised Land, ended up becoming a far longer lesson in trust and obedience than they expected. Fortunately, I hope, we won't have to wait for 40 years to find out who our new vicar is. It'd be nice to know within 40 days, actually, who our new vicar is. But like the Israelites, we too will be grieving to some degree or other at losing the familiar. And I say to some degree or another because some people actually enjoy change and actively seek it out. Others find it more difficult. During the gap, some things will be different. And of course, we don't know when our waiting will be over, when we see who God has in store for us. And also, we have to be open to the fact that when the new incumbent comes in, again, they won't be Simon, and they will be getting to know us. And again, things may be a little bit different. And they'll have their own ideas for what God wants to do with us and how we're to change and to move on. And I was here at 8 o'clock. I know that's a bit of a shock to most of you. It was a shock to those who were there. But I had to wake up at shortly after 7, and I suddenly thought, actually, I want to go to the 8 o'clock because Simon's celebrating communion, and I'd like to be there. And as he was saying, when he came, things were a little bit different. He did things a little bit differently to Ray. And he reminded the congregation, I'd completely forgotten this. He asked me, how do we do communion? And I said, oh, we do it like this. So the following week at 9 o'clock, he did it the way that I'd showed him. And then there was also communion service at 10:30. and he celebrated communion again. And I said, oh, no, 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 we don't do it like that at 10:30 because 10:30 is different to the 9. And he didn't, you know, he was trying to do things the way that we did them, but inevitably they were different because he was Simon and not Ray. And even if we had told him an absolutely precise choreography, it was going to be different. So it is going to be different, but it's going to be good. There will be new things and they will be good. I'm constantly reminded of God's promise when he brought a completely different set of exiles back through the desert to Jerusalem. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. God's plans for us are good. And we need to remember this during these next few months. This is, if you like, our lesson in trust. And like the Israelites, we also need to stay close to God. And this last week, my attention was drawn to the passage in Numbers 9. It's now 2 years since Israel fled Egypt, and they were still camped in the Sinai Desert. And it's a very repetitive passage, as you probably noticed. But what caught my eye was how closely the Israelites were following God's prompting. If the cloud or the fire, which was the sign of God's presence, was resting over the tabernacle or the dwelling place of God, the people stayed put. But whenever the cloud or the fire lifted, the people moved. The timing varied, but the response was always the same. And it made me think of a dance where you move in time to the music, but you also follow the person who's leading you if you're the woman. And if they move at a particular time, you go with them and they guide you and you're moving in step with them. So sometimes the cloud only stayed from evening till morning, and when it lifted in the morning, they set out, whether by day or by night. Whenever the cloud lifted, they set out. Whether the cloud stayed over the tabernacle for 2 days or a month or a year, the Israelites would remain in camp and not set out. But when it lifted, they would set out. God was being very clear about when the Israelites should move and when they should stay. And no reason was given for the random pattern of stopping and starting. It may just have been an exercise in obedience. I mean, it must have been quite exhausting in some ways, never knowing quite how long are we here. 2 days? Do you think I can get some of my washing done? I've just organised. If we're going to be here for a month, I'm going to get all my pots out and get them in order and maybe go through the goat skins and organise them and refold them. Ah, we're only here for half an hour. Okay, we're up and off. You know, it must have been quite difficult for the Israelites. But why should God have to explain himself? The issue was really, would Israel learn to follow orders? Because God knew that their journey was going to be testing. Any disobedience on their part would affect the final outcome. And this was exactly what happened. Israel's rebellion added decades to a journey that should have taken a matter of days. Clearly, the best option is always to stay close to God, to listen to him and obey him. Not just for now, in this interim period, as we discern what happens next for St. Paul's, but for each one of us, as we live our lives every day, we need to stay close to God. We need to listen. We need to obey. This should be as natural as breathing. This is part of what it means to follow God. And this is the overriding message of John 15, where Jesus describes himself as the vine and us as the branches. As followers, we're meant to do the things that Jesus commands. Jesus calls this being fruitful, but we cannot bear fruit by ourselves. We have to stay attached to the vine. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. The branches don't have to do anything special in order to bear fruit, apart from being healthy and staying attached. A healthy plant is the gardener's job. I've never pruned a vine, but I know what my rose pergola needs to bear lots of flowers. It might not look like this, but this was what my pergola looked like after I'd tidied it up. I cut off 2 car bootloads and more of prunings and branches. It was about 4 foot higher in terms of the growth than it is now. It had gone crazy last year. So I had to cut out all of the diseased pieces of wood, as well as any branches that were growing in the wrong direction. And then I wove it all into this sort of open, sort of basket work shape. And sometimes I feed my rose this year, I forgot to, and then I leave it alone. I don't have to tell my rose to grow new flowers, it just does. This was my rose a couple of days ago. It's just thick with new green growth, and the flowers are all beginning to open, and the scent is fabulous. My rose grows roses, because that's in the rose's DNA. And in the same way, when we allow God to get to work in our lives, he gently and carefully removes any damage. He prunes us back to a healthy shoot. He feeds and nourishes us with his Holy Spirit, and then he watches and waits for the fruit to grow. And when we remain close to Jesus, in just the same way as the sap flows through the vine from the roots to the tips of the branches, Jesus' Holy Spirit power flows through us, and this enables us to bear the kind of fruit that God loves. But if we get separated from the vine, from Jesus, we'll quickly wither and no longer be able to bear the fruit that God wants. But there's more. When we remain close to Jesus and allow his teaching to become an intrinsic part of who we are, this transforms our prayer life. John 15:7. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. John 15:7-8. Ask whatever you wish and it will be given you. Well, here's the thing. It's not a blank check. Definitely not pray whatever you like and it's yours. No. When we remain in Jesus and his words and his teaching remain in us, we will find ourselves praying according to Jesus' will, praying according to Jesus' heart, praying according to Jesus' spirit. And these are the prayers that God loves to answer. So, for example, we have been praying that God will give us the vicar that he wants for St. Paul's. And that's a prayer that God's going to answer, because that's in line with his will. And it's a win-win, because the vicar God wants for us will be God's best choice for us. But were we to pray, please can Stu Plum be the next vicar of St. Paul's? And I'm sure most of you know that Stu was a much loved curate, but this is really for the benefit of the recording. Stu was a recent curate here. We loved him a great deal, but he's now moved on somewhere else. The answer to that prayer would be no, because God's best plans for Stu are different right now. Notice how I say right now. I'm just leaving a chink open there for God maybe to give us Stu sometime down in the future. Remaining in prayer means praying according to God's will, praying as Jesus prays. On the BBC website 5 days ago, there was a report of a televangelist who was asking his followers to buy him his 4th private jet. I'm not going to give him the attention and publicity he craves by naming him. And this man's argument is, quote, Jesus wouldn't be riding on a donkey, unquote. Apparently, God has told this man to buy a Falcon 7X, £41 million. And the man said he hesitated at first, but God apparently told him, I didn't ask you to pay for it, I asked you to believe for it. Standing beside framed pictures of his current fleet of aircraft. He said the jet he bought 12 years ago was no longer sufficient for his ministry because he could not fly non-stop, meaning he had to pay exorbitant refueling costs. Another picture had the caption, "It's not about possessions, it's about priorities." My comment is, first, what's wrong with flying on a commercial flight if you have to fly? It would also give you a captive audience to preach to, though please tell me what plane you're catching and I'll take another one. Secondly, wouldn't Jesus prefer you to use this kind of money to feed the hungry, heal the sick, and seek justice for the oppressed? Surely this is the kind of fruit Jesus desires most. You know, it's only when we remain close to Jesus that we will find ourselves doing what Jesus does. And when we do this, we'll also find ourselves remaining in his love and in his joy. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I've told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Our fruitfulness doesn't just bring God joy, it also brings us joy, complete joy. And you know, the Israelites disobeyed God, and apart from a couple of them, most of them died in the wilderness, and they certainly lost their joy. It's an irony that people don't want to follow God because they think that following God will curtail their joy. But actually, so often our own choices lead us away from joy. And following God leads us into the heart of love and into the heart of joy. So as we say farewell to Simon and Heather and Pippa, let's do so with joy. Let's give thanks for the good fruit that they've brought to us at St. Paul's, and let's send them, and let's send the group who are going with them, our love and blessing, sending them with our blessing, praying that they will bring much joy and much good fruit to St. Richard's. St. Richard's needs joy. And while we trust and wait for our own good news, let's remember that God's plans for us are good. His presence with us is constant. All we have to do is stay close, listen and obey. And may this time of praying and remaining become a time of real fruitfulness, both in our lives and in the life of this church. As we were travelling north, the miles would often be punctuated by the cry, "Are we nearly there yet?" Well, as far as the search for our new vicar is concerned, the answer, I believe, is a very definite yes. So I'm going to close with a prayer. Father, thank you so much that your plans for us, individually and corporately, are good. Thank you that when we stay close to you, we stay close to your heart of joy and love. And that you give us your joy and your love freely. So, Lord, help us to stay close to you. Help us to listen to you. Help us to listen to your prompting so that we learn to move when you're asking us to move, so that we stop when you ask us to stop. And, Father, keep us obedient to you. And we pray especially today for Steve and Fiona and for the committee. Thank you for the shortlisting process that has already happened. And we pray for the four candidates who will be visiting us soon. We pray for them, that you will be guiding them, that they will be listening to your voice and to your call. We pray that the person that you want to come here will just be filled with an increasing certainty of your plans for them. And we pray that this may also become clear to the interviewing committee. And Father, thank you that they do not do this on their own. Thank you that you have sent your Holy Spirit. You leave your Holy Spirit with us. And so we know that your Holy Spirit will be in that meeting, guiding the committee and guiding the candidates. And Father, we lay it before you and pray once again that you will bring us the person of your choice, that the next season in St. Paul's may be even more fruitful than the joy that we've experienced over these last years. In Jesus' name, amen.